Good morning and a very warm welcome to St. Columba's Derry Volgay, whether you are joining us online or whether you are with us in the building. I'm very aware that there has been a lot on our news broadcasts in recent days, and maybe we've had a tough week, things that we are worrying about. So I just want to take a moment before we come before God, and let's just leave those things at the door. Let's let him take them from our worried minds and deal with them as he wishes. A word from Scripture, from Hebrews. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" We continue our sermon series this morning on You Are the Church, and James will be preaching on the grace of giving. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Let us then confess our sins together. We say together, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand to sing softly under our masks, hymn number 80, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Our appointed psalm for today, this 17th Sunday after Trinity, is Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1 to 14. And we're going to say this by alternate verse. So I will say the odd numbers and you can join with me in the even numbers. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. One day pours out its song to another, and one night unfolds knowledge to another. They have neither speech nor language, and their voices are not heard. Yet their sound has gone out into all lands, and their words to the ends of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, that comes forth as a bridegroom out of his chamber, and rejoices as a champion to run his course. It goes forth from the end of the heavens and runs to the very end again, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey dripping from the honeycomb. By them also is your servant taught, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often they offend? O cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they get dominion over me. So shall I be undefiled and innocent of great offence. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. We have come to the point in our service whenever we ask children usually to come up to the front, and I must say it is a little bit strange not having many children in the congregation. But I want you to put your hands up if you hate going to the dentist. Yeah, for those who can't see at home, there is a fair few hands going up. But don't worry, I am not going to talk about the dentist today, but I am going to talk about our teeth. Did you know that in their lifetime, elephants can have up to 6 sets of teeth? Now, as humans, we only get 2. We have our milk teeth, and then our milk teeth will fall out and our adult teeth will tend to grow through. Perhaps you have a bit of a wobbly tooth at the minute. Well, let me tell you a story about how my mummy once got this really persistent wobbly tooth out. I think it was this one just here, but it wouldn't come out. It had been wobbly for ages. I was getting really frustrated with it. So what she done was she tied a little bit of string to it. She tied the other piece of the string to the door and slammed the door, and the tooth came out. Now, nowadays, that would probably be something you'd be ringing Childline for, but that is how she got the tooth out. Maybe when you were younger, you and your tooth came out, you would have left your tooth underneath your pillow for the tooth fairy to come. Well, in actual fact, I have some of my milk teeth with me. Now, you probably won't be able to see them because they're that small, but Mum keeps these. And there is one of my, I think this is the one that actually came out with the string. There is my milk tooth. You probably can't see it from where you're sitting or where you are watching. But I heard a story about this little girl named Rachel, and her tooth came out and she put it under her pillow, and the tooth fairy brought her £2. Now, £2 was a lot of money to Rachel, and Rachel was quite happy with £2. But one day when Rachel was visiting one of her friends, she was telling her a story about how her tooth had come out and how the tooth fairy had left her £10. And so Rachel went to her friend's mum and said, "Can you do me a big favour? Can you ring my mum and give her the number of your tooth fairy and tell her which one that you use?" You see, Rachel had been quite happy with the £2 that her tooth fairy had left her, until she found out that the tooth fairy left her friend £10. All of a sudden, this £2 was not enough. And isn't that the way with many of us? God has blessed us with all that we need, but when we see that someone else has more, we're no longer happy with what we currently have. And the Apostle Paul had something to say about this in a letter that he wrote to a young preacher named Timothy. He told Timothy that we should be content with all that God has given us. After all, we didn't bring anything into this world, and we will not take anything with us when we leave. Paul told Timothy to teach people that instead of seeking wealth, they should seek to be rich in good deeds and rich in faith with God, and be able to share what they have with others. Now, I don't know how much your tooth fairy leaves under your pillow, but I do know that God will provide all your needs if you will trust in him. And if he blesses you with more than you need, don't brag about it, share it with others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have provided for us and everything that you can continue to provide. Lord, we pray that when we see that others have more, that we wouldn't feel that need to strive for more ourselves, that we would trust in the truth that you have given us all that we need for this life. And Lord, when we have extra and we see others who are in need, we pray that you would equip us and help us to share our wealth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nilla, for reading us God's word today. We're continuing this series, You Are the Church, that we're in this together. One of the things that we have noticed over this COVID-19 period, this lockdown period, is that even though our buildings were closed, we continued to be the church. Actually, the church was mobilized in many different ways to look out for so many other people. Over this series, we've thought about the fact that we are ordinary people transformed by an extraordinary God. That the first disciples devoted themselves to the word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and many were added to their number. We look at the fact that there was four alls for us to consider, that God is all-powerful, he has called us to go to all nations, to be filled with all of obedience, and that he is always with us. And last week we thought about the fact that his presence is powerful, and his presence drives us to be present with other people. So before we come to God's word today, let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are who you say you are. That my image of you does not change your nature. As we open your word, we pray that your spirit would inspire us, speak to us, whisper softly or shout loudly. But today, Lord, we want to leave transformed by your presence and by your word. In your name, amen. And so today, as Sarah has already said, we're thinking about the grace of giving or the gift of giving. And there's sometimes whenever a minister starts this subject, it can spark a different emotion or reaction within the congregation that he's speaking to. Minister talking about money, especially if he comes from Ballymena. But bear with me, because this passage today discusses how the gift or the grace of giving is much more than just money or our time or our tithe. Actually, in this passage, Paul hints at 10 principles as we think about this. And we'll very quickly walk through those 10 principles. In this passage, and actually in chapters 8 and 9, you have to take it in its breadth and not just in its specifics. And sometimes that's the difficulty whenever we come to look at bigger topics within the scriptures. We pull one passage or one little verse out and we use that rather than looking at a breadth across what the Bible teaches. And so in this 2 Corinthians chapter 8 passage, in verse 1 to 3, here's what it says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. See, the grace of giving shows the grace of God. Behind our generosity, others can see God. And so actually the first thing to say is that we give out of right motives. We don't give just to be seen that we're giving. We give out of right motives. That what we do, our generosity would spark a conversation with other people. That our generosity, our giving would show other people that something is different about us. We're not always thinking about ourselves. And so this grace of giving is marked by the grace of God. He first gave to us so we can give away. And actually, the second thing is that giving is marked as a gift of the Spirit. Now, elsewhere in the Scriptures, it's very clearly designated that there are certain things in a believer's life that are the gift of the Spirit. They're given as the Spirit enables and as the Spirit desires. gift of prophecy, of evangelism, of teaching, of administration. I don't have that one. But there's lots of different gifts in the spiritual gifts. And one of them actually is giving. And so there will be some amongst us who have a gift of giving. It comes very naturally to you. Actually, it's one of the first things that you think about whenever you see someone in need. For others, it may be that we need to work at it more. Thirdly, the grace of giving flows from the cross of Christ. Verses 8 and 9. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus left the splendor and the glory and the majesty and the richness of heaven and became poor in a stable. Not just in monetary terms, but in handing over all of that splendor of heaven to walk this earth. So that in our poverty, in our need, he might give to us in order that we can become rich. In order that we can have the splendor and the glory and the majesty of heaven. That we can become inheritors of all that is of the kingdom of God. And so the grace of giving, the gift of giving, flows from the cross of Christ. He is our example. In his surrender and in his sacrifice, we can see that actually the scriptures teach us, the Christian life teaches us, Jesus teaches us, that whenever we give up, we actually receive more. In our giving, we are blessed. In our time, in our gifts of compassion, and our giving of our tithe and our monies back to the Lord, he blesses us because of our obedience to him. But you see, it's often proportionate as well. Chapter 8, verse 10 says, and here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. The willingness is there. I started this by saying it comes in an attitude of a right motive. Why are we doing it? And we give proportionately from what we have been given. We do it generously. And so for some of us, in our giving, in our tithe, in our giving back to the kingdom of God, it's done in a manner according to what we have already. In some of the other places that I have served, there have been a couple of exceptionally wealthy individuals who, whenever they tithe, whenever they give back to the Lord, the amount of income to the parish dramatically increases. But often that was done anonymously, so no one knew who was doing it. Done out of a right motive and proportionately. Because in the same manner, someone whose income is of a very low threshold, giving proportionately of what they have, is in direct obedience to what the Lord is calling us to do, and blesses others in exactly the same way. This grace of giving contributes to an equality, if you like. Verse 13 says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you're hard-pressed, but there might be equality. The present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. We can testify as a couple that in the moments whenever we were, in the moments whenever we had very little, others blessed us. Sometimes in the moment where we were wondering, whenever we were at college, where exactly we were going to get the money to pay the bill that had just landed in the door, to find the very next day a little brown envelope set into my hand with near enough the same amount of money in it to pay the bill. Because what we do in the grace of our giving supports and helps each other. In verse 16, which Nuala didn't read today because I asked her to stop before that, in verse 16, it talks actually about, well, I read it. I thank God who put this heart in the heart of Titus, the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he's coming to you with much enthusiasm, his own initiative, sending along with him his brother, who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he has chosen the churches to accompany us. We carry an offering and we administer and honour the Lord in itself. We want to avoid any criticism in the way that we administer this, and so we take account for it. In everything that we do as a parish, we need to be accountable for what it is that we have been given. Now, after this service, we're coming to our Easter, which is weird, General Vestry meeting. We're coming to our AGM, where we will elect office bearers, if you like, for the parish. Select vestry members who, in essence, become the stewards of the resources of this parish. And so there are mechanisms within our structures to ensure that we are good stewards of what we have been given. See, in chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, the Apostle Paul says that he has set the Macedonians against the Corinthians. And his kind of phrase, if you like, if you did a little synopsis, it would be called friendly competition. In one sense, he holds up to the Corinthians, look, the Macedonians were able to give in this manner. What about you? And he says to the Macedonians, the Corinthians were able to give in this manner. What about you? And many times in times past, there would have been lists produced in parishes with numbers and names beside them. And sometimes there would have been moments where that would have been used in a moment of friendly competition, if you like, to see who was able to give more. But that's not what it's all about. Because then the wrong motives come into play. Because we give proportionately to what the Lord has given to us. We give prayerfully from what the Lord has given to us. In chapter 9, verse 6, it says this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give, or woman should give, according to what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. There's a different kind of harvest in there as well. There's seeds of a different harvest being spoken of in there. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Sow generously, you reap generously. We have always found, I had a conversation with Shirley before I got up to preach. We have always found that whenever we give generously, with a right motive, it doesn't lack. We don't lack. the Lord provides into vacuums that may be created. Even if we've made decisions in ministry, as we've made moves, where actually the move financially doesn't stack up, the move geographically doesn't stack up, but yet the Lord always provides, and there is always more than enough for our needs. Verse 13 of chapter 9 says, because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. Back to what I said at the beginning, this idea of right motives, this concept that our grace of giving shows the grace of God. That in our generosity, other people ask questions and they see things that are of God and not of us. And they wonder why. And so you can answer it. It's because I know Jesus. It's because I believe that I am to hold out a hand, that I am to reach towards the other, socially distant, of course. There's a symbolic significance. There's more than meets the eye. It's by being accountable and obedient to what God is teaching us as his followers, as believers who are set apart for him. And this promotes thanksgiving. Verse 15 of chapter 9, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Out of his generosity, the Lord has given us so much. And in turn, we give back to him. So what does this look like? Well, often it's spoken of as a tithe, a 10%, if you like. That's often what many preachers would use as an example from a biblical perspective in the Old Testament. That's part of the Old Testament law of bringing your tithe to the Lord before you bring your own your tithe into the temple, before you bring the rest of your harvest into your own barn. You give the first fruits of what you have back to the Lord. You give him the best of you. This passage we looked at today talks about giving proportionately, but generously. As I taught in this in a church, I was asked to teach in this in a church that I wasn't the minister of one day. And as I taught about a tithe, someone came to me after the service and they said, should my tithe be of my gross salary or my net salary? I had to take a moment and say, I think maybe we're looking at this with a wrong motive. Because underneath that is the question, and I asked the question, is the question for you underneath that you want to give as little as you feel you have to give to make sure you fulfilled all your vows? But you know, whenever we give out of what the Lord has given, we give back to God what he has already given to us. Next week's harvest, all good gifts are from heaven above. We trust God, as we've already heard today, we trust God for what we need. As I've already shared today, as we as a family, as a couple have trusted God for what we need, God has always, always, always shown up. It may not have been in the way that I thought he was going to. It may not have been in the way that I had prayed he was going to. But he has always been there. Your giving to the kingdom is just that. It's a blessing to others, enabling the local church, this parish, you and I, to reach our community with the good news. As we approach harvest, we launch a new project. Maybe you've read that in your magazine last week. We launch a project for the next 12 months to begin to pay for a lot of the audiovisual equipment that we put in, but we're partnering with SAMS as well, because we want to bless others as we do this for ourselves. We encourage and enable the Anglican Church in the nation of Chile to train people theologically, new leaders for their church across a very thin country that spans 2,500 kilometers long. They need to think of new ways whenever COVID hit them. It was already struggling and finding it hard to get people together in such a long country. But with COVID restrictions, it's now nearly impossible. And so they're looking at new ways that they can train leaders for their church. And we want to partner with them in that. So as we approach harvest, we launch a new project. As we think about the needs of this parish and how we meet the needs that we have financially every year. And here, if you remain for our vestry meeting, we meet that just about every year. Not all of it comes from our giving. Some of it has to come from fundraising and from the renting of our buildings. But as we develop, as we push out into our community, as we try new things for the Lord, then we need to consider what we're giving to his work in this place, preacher included. Details of, if you're not already doing that, the details of how you can do that, you'll find all of that on our resources pages of our website. Maybe you're watching us online today and you would like to contribute to that. You can find that on the resources pages of our website. If we want to see the kingdom of God come in this place, then we need to resource it to do so. I remember once being in a parish, and the bishop was there. He's retired now. I'll not name which one he is, but he's retired. And he was challenged by a parishioner, "Bishop, how the heck is this parish ever going to pay for all this stuff?" And his response went something like this: "Well, God always provides the resources that are needed for his church and for his kingdom. It's just it seems they're still in your pocket at the minute." Now, there was an interesting interchange between that individual and the bishop thereafter. But you can kind of see what he was saying. If God resources us for what we need, and God has put us together as a parish and a church, then he's resourced us to do what he has called us to do. And so the encouragement today is that we give generously, with a thankful heart, so that others might see Jesus, and that God may be glorified in this place. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, help us to see you more clearly. And as we see you clearly, Lord, into this sometimes emotive conversation, we pray that your Spirit would enlighten us and guide us into the fullness of what you have for us. In your name. Amen.
We continue in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks that this day that we can freely gather together, whether in the building or online from the safety of our homes. We give you thanks that we can do that without fear. God, in our ever-changing world, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your promise that you will be with us till the end gives us the hope to keep holding on. Ever generous God, you know the needs of the church and the hope that you have for us here. Teach us the joy of giving. Cheerful, positive, liberating giving as we seek to echo your endless giving to us. Ever generous God, it often seems that there's nothing money can't buy, but we know there is. Money can't buy courage, joy, forgiveness, faith that moves mountains. Love that will not let us go. Thank you for the money that we have, and may we not envy what we don't have. Give us contentment, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Lord of life and death, we look forward to the day when there will be no more tears, no more illness, no more hurt, and no more death. But until that day, we pray for all this day whose every tear you catch. We pray for those who are ill, whether physically, mentally, or spiritually, that according to your will, they would know you as their healer. We pray for those who have been bereaved, that they would know because of you, death is not the end. Lord, we thank you that you join us throughout every stage of life, through good days and through the joy and through the challenges. We pray this day that you would awaken us to your voice. May we be ever willing for your Spirit to be at work in our lives, prompting us to be your hands and feet in a needy world. Lord of ages, we give you thanks for the young people in our parish. We lift them up to you in prayer at this time with all that is going on in the world. May they be awakened to a sense of your presence with them, lighting the path for their future, a future that you have planned for each one of them. And as we approach our youth social gathering this week, give them courage to attend and vision for what youth in Derry Volgey might look like in years to come. Not because they are the future of the church, but because they are the church. They are a part of this church family and loved greatly by you. God, our Father, as our annual general vestry plan to meet today, we meet in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us to know your presence with us, and in all our thinking and speaking, keep us in harmony with your will. Give us a vision of your kingdom, insight into your purposes, and understanding the needs of your work. We place ourselves at your disposal. We are your fellow workers, eager to carry out your wishes. Use us, Lord, for your will and your glory. Very present God, we pray for all that we have heard on the news this week. We pray for the bereaved family of Ballymena schoolgirl Brooke Reid McMaster. We pray for everyone who has tested positive for COVID-19. We pray for those who have lost loved ones due to COVID-19, remembering that every number, every statistic is a family and friends who have lost. We pray for our leaders, our schools and colleges, our hospitals and care homes, our local shops, our local cafes. We pray for this land. We pray for this world that you have entrusted into our care. Lord, we recall that children's song that says he's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Lord, we thank you that regardless of what headlines hit our newspapers and TV screens, that you are in control, that your good and perfect will prevail, that you are King, Emmanuel, not just for Christmas, but for every day. You're God with us. We pray that you would heal our land according to your will. Ecole. Prayer together that our Father once taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A few very quick announcements. DVK, our children's programme, continues online each Friday evening. So if you know someone of primary school age who could sign up to that, please get them to do so. All details are on our Facebook page or our website. It is Easter General Vestry meeting for a short period. It won't be a long meeting. After I pronounce the benediction. So if you are planning to remain for the Easter General, please just remain in your seat where you are. If you're leaving, please simply exit in a socially distant manner, as we normally would. This week, you will note as you go out the door, there is a new temporary step in place. So just watch yourself as you're going out that, but hopefully that will aid and assist going out that door, because it was quite a drop beforehand. As already been alluded to in our prayers, our young people are gathering for a social to work out what they want to do, in a sense, this Friday night, the 9th of October, 8 p.m. So anybody of year 8 plus, if you know, please pass that on to them. You can sign up for that, and the details for that are online as well. Next Sunday is our Harvest Sunday. We will launch our Harvest project for the next 12 months with our AV partnering with SAMS and Chile, as I already mentioned today. And our guest preacher next week is Bishop Fanta Clark. That should be a good one. And please do continue to bring goods for that, which are donated to the Lisburn Food Bank this year. Last week we talked about our Small Steps service beginning on Tuesday the 13th of October at 10 o'clock in the morning. For some, gathering like this on a Sunday is maybe just too big a step at the moment. And so we're doing a short said service of morning prayer at 10 a.m. beginning on Tuesday, the 13th of October. Please pass that word out and get that out to other people. Our magazine is available. Maybe you got that through your door. If you haven't got one, there are some that you can get today for that. There's a basket for a free will offering, or if you wish, online, if you wish to give, to contribute to the kingdom of God in this place, you'll find that on the resources pages of our website. But we hear some words from the book of Ephesians today as we close. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And may the glory and the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So if you're remaining, please just simply stay in your seat. It will be a short period. We anticipate about half an hour, so hopefully if you're leaving, please do so now.